had a cocker spaniel named Skipper. Skipper was a pretty good dog, but like a lot of dogs, when Skipper got in trouble, he knew it. He knew when he was in trouble, and you'd look at him and you'd start scolding him, and he would do what dogs do. Skipper especially, he would try to look away. He would never look up at your eyes. You'd be like, "Did you pee on the couch?" You know, and he'd be looking away. He couldn't look at his master when he was in trouble, and he knew it. He just couldn't make eye contact. Peter reminds me of that in this text. Now, we know Peter, the apostle, the disciple. He often is the disciple that is the voice of all the rest of the disciples. He's the leader. He's the one that's kind of in charge. And he has a history of being really brash and outspoken. He's the one that is famous for making the confession about Jesus. Jesus asks, "Who do the people say that I am? And who do you say that I am?" And Peter responds, "You are the Christ, the Holy One, the one chosen by God." And on this, Jesus says, "On this rock my church will be built." He's the bold one. In the garden, when the disciples are praying with Jesus, and Judas comes and betrays Christ, it's Peter that goes and pulls his sword and cuts off the ear of the chief priest's servant. Peter is brash. He's bold. He's the leader. He's the voice. He tells Christ at the Last Supper that he would never deny knowing Jesus, that he would go to prison. He would die along with Christ. And to this, Christ says, "Before the rooster crows, you will deny me 3 times. In our text tonight, Peter goes to trial while Jesus is also on trial. Jesus has just been arrested, and Peter follows along, and Jesus starts going to his trial. And in this passage, he's kind of ushered back and forth between one trial and another, undergoing the beginnings of his suffering. And while he's doing that, Peter is undergoing an informal trial. And in this, he denies Christ 3 times. In the first denial, a woman sees Peter and says, "This man was with Jesus." And to this, Peter says, "Woman, I don't even know that man." The first denial. He doesn't know who Jesus is. It's like the beginnings of a crack in the foundation. Things are going to crumble and break. A little time passes, and someone else sees Peter and says, "You are one of them." Them being the people who have been following Jesus this whole time. Them being the ones who were in the garden with him. And to this, Peter says, "No, I'm not." The crack expands. He first denies knowing Jesus. Now he denies knowing Jesus and the disciples, the whole party of people that followed Christ. And so then, a third denial. About an hour later, another man insisted, "This man must have been with Jesus. They both come from Galilee." Galilee is that place where Christ did most of his miracles, where his works were known the best, where it's a place that's associated with the power of this Jesus Christ. And to this, Peter says, "I don't know what you're talking about." He denies knowing Jesus. He denies knowing the other disciples. And he denies the works that Christ did. And then you know the story. The rooster crows. But here's the worst part about this story. after the rooster crows and Peter has just denied it, Jesus is walking and being ushered to another part of the trial, and Jesus looks and sees Peter. And at that moment, Peter knows. He puts all the pieces together, his denial three times, the rooster crowing, and he sees Jesus looking at him, and he is broken. The foundation has completely been torn apart. He's like my puppy, Skipper. He couldn't look his master in the face because he knew he failed. Peter is the voice of the disciples, the apostles. He's also our voice. Because each and every one of us is a denier of Christ. Now, our denial isn't going to look quite so dramatic as Peter's, perhaps. You know, we're not being tried by people around a courtyard and a courtroom, being challenged whether we know Jesus. But each and every time, we willfully do something that we know to be wrong, to go against God's law, to go against God's will for our lives. Well, that's denial. Not the river, it's denial. Each time we make a choice, we deny Christ. And in denying Christ, we deny the body of believers we belong to. And in denying Christ and the body of believers, the church that we belong to, we also deny the works that we know Christ has done for us. We are deniers. We are Peter. And oh, we can't stand under the gaze of our Lord. It haunts us. But Christ looks at us anyway. And as Christ looks at Peter, you can see him in the background of the painting there. He goes to where his Father's will is taking him. He looks at Peter and he's a sinner. And he becomes even more resolute about what he has come to do. When he looks at us, he sees people who deny him constantly, but he knows what he had to do. Peter fails miserably in his trial, but Jesus continues. He goes into the beatings, the mockery, the cheers and chants of crucify him, crucify him. And he goes up the hill. He goes to the cross, knowing full well that he is dying for a bunch of miserable deniers. But without his death, we remain in denial. We remain broken and weeping hard like Peter did after seeing Christ. But we know the rest of the story. We know that Christ conquers the grave. And he comes back and he meets Peter face to face and he restores Peter. He forgives him. He gives him life. What happens to Peter after this? He becomes again the leader of the disciples. He becomes their voice. He goes and he preaches on Pentecost. And thousands of people come to Jesus. He knows that his strength is not his own. He doesn't live in his own strength anymore. He lives in the Lord's. Because living by his strength, the foundation will continue to crumble. Instead, he has made Christ the solid rock his foundation. He is saved not by his love for the Lord, his brashness, but by Christ's love for him. And so are you. So am I. Not saved by our love for Christ, but by his love for us. We don't live in our own strength. We live in his strength. Knowing what he has done for us to grant us forgiveness, to then give us his Spirit so that we may live in him, grow into a more of a fullness with him, so that we can have his strength for life in ministry, in the world, in our families, in our community. Thanks be to God for the strength, the love of Christ, the one solid rock, the true foundation. Amen. Let us pray. Gracious, wonderful Lord, we give you thanks that despite our denial, despite our failures at all the trials in life, you continue to succeed. And that you did what we absolutely could not do. In our weakness, Lord, grant us your strength. In our frailness, grant us your life. That we may find our strength in you, find our life in you, and have salvation, forgiveness, and work your ministry in this world. We pray this in your name. Amen.